This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good afternoon, good evening, everyone, depending on what time you're listening to this show. If you're listening on our podcast, this is Radio Law Talk. My name is Todd Kunin, and the first thing you might be saying to yourself, but maybe not the first thing, but one of the things you'd be saying to yourself is, wait a minute, I thought I
heard...
Where's
Fred?
Exactly, where's Fred? Didn't the promo just say Radio Law Talk, hosted
where's
by Fred,
Fred
Penny? Fred Penny is on assignment today. Hopefully he's listening in. Every once in a while when that happens, he'll chat with us via text or send something in. So if we hear from him, we do. Fred, if you are listening, we miss you here. Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks in her usual position of prominence, seated to the left of where Fred would normally sit, and I took his spot because it's like Game of Thrones.
The other left.
The other, to the right, because I do not know my left from my right. Do you ever do that where, you put your hands down and you extend your thumb and your forefinger, and whichever one actually makes the letter L, you know is your left side?
Wait a minute.
You've never heard that?
I just look for the scar.
And that voice that you hear there, which is also the voice of our intro, is none other than our producer, Cal Hunter.
Hello.
Mr. Hunter, how are you today?
Perfectly well, thank you.
Outstanding, like a farmer in the field.
Exactly right.
Denise, we blew right past you, after I inadvertently said left when I meant right. How are things going?
Things are going well. I'm glad to be back.
But you, where were, without giving too many details, what took you away from our little soiree that we have on...
My niece graduated from high school.
Was this an actual ceremony that you got to attend, or was it one of these drive-thrus where I'll take a diploma plus a 20-piece McNugget and a Diet Coke?
Well, luckily we got to park. It was a park-in.
Oh, wow.
So we all got to park, and we got to sit in front of our vehicles with social distancing, and they did, how the cars would do a drive-thru to drop kids off, and the kids did the walk-thru around the drive-thru.
Did they do a big PA, or did they do FM radio, one of those little church?
The radios.
Yeah.
They did both, because the people close enough could hear through, their speaker system.
The PA, right. Yeah.
Right. People in the back had their radios on.
Yeah. You know that you cannot get those little low-power transmitters anymore? There's a company in Utah called Rolls that makes these little half-watt legal FM transmitters that broadcast a half a mile or something like that. They said, I reached out for a school in Reading that wanted one, and they said, how about July?
Oh.
Because everybody wanted them. They just were out of them, so it was crazy.
Yeah. It was a wonderful ceremony. There were 15 graduates, and we had a barn, a big old barn party afterwards.
I'm just glad you could go. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
See, this is how my mind works, which is always a dangerous thing.
Please no.
because when Denise said that, we went to the graduation and we got to park there, my mind is flash forwarding for, your niece who graduated to, let's say 20 years from now when she has a child of her own who's getting to the dating age and she gives that speech, all right, you go out with the boys, but I don't want you to park. And the child says, isn't that how you got your diploma?
Maybe.
Maybe. Just using that to... Kids will use anything to stick it to their folks, won't they?
Todd has a lot of backstory there.
Apparently. I really want to know about this whole plan.
Well, that thought may or may not be based upon true events.
Especially during graduation.
Exactly. So, folks, Radio Law Talk, if you're tuning in for the first time or if it's been a while, we like to discuss legal issues here, but please understand that anything that we say on the show is for entertainment purposes. We're not giving specific legal advice. If you have an issue that you need specific legal advice for, please contact an attorney of your choice so that you can have a discussion about those issues that are related to your specific circumstance. I had somebody last week ask me for some legal advice. I practice criminal law. I'm a criminal defense attorney, a former prosecutor. Denise is a family law attorney, and Fred, who is not here, is in the personal injury realm. And I had somebody ask me last week a criminal law related question. What would you do? What's your advice? And I said, well, my first bit of advice to anybody is don't break the law. That's where it starts.
Okay. By the way, that was me who asked Todd. I want you to be glad to know I'm out on bail now.
Very good. But it's important because, look, not breaking the law doesn't mean you ain't going to get arrested sometime, because there are people that are found, that are arrested but later exonerated all the time. But it's always good for your defense if you didn't actually do it. That's always good. It always helps your lawyer, too, because it's different for criminal defense attorneys. If the client did it, then your focus is trying to make sure the punishment fits the crime, there are constitutional violations with the arrest, all that kind of stuff. If they're innocent, that's a lot more stress because your focus is trying to make it so that they can continue to maintain that presumption.
Does it cost more to defend an innocent party or a guilty party in the world of criminal law?
When it comes to money, it does not cost more in the sense that two people similarly situated, if I have two people come in and one says I did it and the other says I didn't do it,
right,
I'm not going to tell the one person who didn't do it, well, okay, I'll charge you $5,000, and then the one who did do it, I'll charge you. There's no disparity there.
Okay.
I think that there is an increase in cost in terms of mental taxation and anguish when you honestly believe that somebody did not do it, and you're like, if I don't do my job, they're going to be found guilty of something that they didn't do.
Yeah.
And then
and you would check out right away any pleas that could happen that could be something that they could accept that would be, you know, acceptable to them. But at the same time, you in the background, you're feeling like this kind of stinks because they're not guilty.
Exactly. Well, and that gets a little to the issue of cost there, which is if somebody truly did not do it, they're less inclined to take any sort of plea. Why would I plead to a lesser offense to stop that I didn't do, to keep from being convicted of something greater that I didn't do? I would like a trial.
Well, so an innocent person seeks primarily a binary solution, a one or a zero. I'm either in or I'm out, guilty or innocent.
That's usually where it starts. And so that's where it can be more expensive, because the conduct of a trial is expensive. It takes more time.
Right.
Whereas a person that is just looking for the best deal, those don't even go to trial. You go to court, you review the information, the discovery that was provided, and then you go ahead and you try to get them the best deal possible. It doesn't take as much time. So, Cal, one of the things that we do here is a game called Case or No Case, and I know we're running up on our first break. Do we got time to get this one set up?
Let's see.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
It doesn't matter. Denise is going to wait till the break anyway.
it doesn't really
matter. Jacob Lingenfelter was a Civil War reenactor who, like many, was a stickler about authenticity. One fine June day, there was an estate sale in the place next to his Pennsylvania farm. His elderly neighbor, Phyllis, was going to live in an extended care facility, and Joel liked his wife to buy especially older people's button boxes because he would occasionally find buttons of value, especially to military collectors like himself. So his wife, Marie, went along with him to this sale. And that was only part of the hobby. She was only part of his hobby that she liked. She first bid $3, then $5, then $7, then $10 for an older button box. And when she opened it up, and this is where I'm going to leave it for now, we only have a minute left. And when she opened it up, there was a bonanza. It was a great thing. So I'm not going to tell you more about it. Just keep that much in your mind. We'll refresh it when we come back, if that's okay.
How much did she pay?
$10.
$10.
So we'll think about the $10 button box bonanza and how this story ends up before Denise and I have to opine whether Cal is pulling our leg or if this is actually a case. Cal, take us out.
Or stitching your buttons here. At any rate, we will continue with Radio Law Talk right here. So if you'll stay there, we promise we will be right back. And we appreciate the fact that you're listening either online or on the air. It's all good.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com. The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
At TicketChocolate.com, we believe that simplicity is best. We also know that chocolate is one of life's finest things that can help you savor your greatest moments. Late-night visits with old friends, overdue romantic moments, and quiet mornings all to yourself. See their wide variety, like hot chocolate sticks or creamy marshmallows, and a lot more at TicketChocolate.com. They remind busy people like you to take time for the pleasure small things can give. TicketChocolate.com, where simplicity is best.
Jason Rossback here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call at 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds at the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car. Watch 100 feet of cloth washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking, snappy, you'll be glad.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunityforlife.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Humans are weird.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
And Frederick Penny again on assignment. Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks here. And Cal, you set things up. The $10 Bonanza button box, the collector, the husband and wife that were looking, and now the rest of the story.
Yes, let me finish this out. So, like I said, she bid $3, $5, $7, $10 for an older-looking button box that clearly had been around for a while, and inside Bonanza, 12 brass buttons from the Revolutionary War, worth perhaps at least a couple of $100 each. It was an incredible find, and word got out. One of Phyllis's kids was a historian, and she had heard rumor that these buttons were still in the family, but of course she realized they were not still in the family after the sale. But so then she told her child, Andrea, and Andrea went to Marie and asked if she might buy the buttons back for the price Marie paid for them. Or would you mind just giving them back to the family? And Marie said, I'm not interested in selling them back. I'm not interested in giving them back. I bought them, and that's that. So Phyllis and the kids decided to consult an attorney, claiming the buttons were a family heirloom and never should have been sold in the first place. She got counsel to come up with a legal theory as to why she should get the buttons back. And so, Denise Dirks, I ask you, case or no case? What say you?
I say that there is a legal theory. The legal theory would be unjust enrichment. That would be where you're selling something and you don't know the value of it necessarily, but the other party knows the value.
Like a Picasso or something.
Exactly.
Free market.
Yeah. And they buy it for a lot less than what the value is. And then you would sue them to try to get it back, you know, for specific damages and specific enforcement perhaps, and under a theory of unjust enrichment.
So would you go after the amount they sold it for? Or, I mean, would that, what, I mean...
No, you'd go after the value.
Oh, okay.
Right. If you couldn't get the specific performance to give back the buttons, then you would go after the value.
Got it, okay.
In this particular case, Jacob Lingenfelder.
Yep, that's the guy, yeah. L-A-N-G-E-N, Lingenfelder, yes.
And this was in Pennsylvania.
Yep, very common Dutch name. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say that this is a case, and the family member gets the value of the buttons but does not get the return of the buttons.
Okay. Todd Kunin, there's Denise's thought on this. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Just a couple of clarification questions.
Oh, here we go. Here we go, Denise.
So the box was purchased for $10.
$10, yep.
And
had everything in it. Yeah.
It had everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know the contents of the box before the transaction to purchase the box for $10?
Did who know?
Did the purchaser?
No.
Yeah.
They knew it was a button box.
They knew it was a button box. They paid $10, and after that transaction was over, they opened it up. Did they open it up on the spot, or was it until they got home?
I believe it was later, but okay. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't ever gloat in front of people. They'd just buy it and go home like a hidden treasure. Oh, boy, this is what we got.
Okay.
You know, like that. Yeah.
So I'm going to say I disagree with Denise on the unjust enrichment for this reason. Nobody knew the value of that box at the time that it was going. The transaction was occurring. So it's not like they paid $10 for something that they knew would have been worth $1,200 or whatever it was.
Ooh, look, the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, they just bought that. That's one. And two, it's very difficult to draw the line in that case if no fraud is going on. It's very difficult to draw the line when somebody purchases something for less than market value and it turns out to be the market value turns out to be much higher than the purchase price. I mean, we see this all the time. If somebody buys a painting at a yard sale and it turns out to be the long-lost Monet or something like that. And, you know, when people want to hold a sale, they're entering into that voluntarily. They weren't coerced to sell it. So I'm going to say that this is... which is not to say that unjust enrichment would never apply. I just don't think it applies in this context. So I'm going to say that this is a case, and I think that the couple that purchased it prevails. They don't have to pay anything back. I think this is a, you know, you've heard buyer beware, and I think that the seller beware is the same principle. And so the Lingenfelders or whatever their name is, they get to keep the box and don't have to, and the buttons don't have to give anything back.
There are thousands of people named Lingenfelter listening to us near Pennsylvania right right now
that are probably, you know, hanging me in effigy because I can't pronounce the name.
Exactly.
I get it.
Well, this is an interesting case because we've all heard of these things happening, whether it's a flea market or a garage sale or whatever it may be. And what I find most interesting about it was your diverse legal theories on why it was a case and what the possible outcome was. So both of you said it was a case. Is this correct?
Uh-oh. Yes.
I'm just making sure. Is that... Oh, I'm so sorry. It's a Cal made it up case, but it is nonetheless interesting to think about because I bet this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our first hour, case or no case. Next hour, what are we going to do? Next hour, I'm going to take you to a traffic tragedy on case or no case.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the divergent legal theories that happen and stuff. And I know that people can look at that at first blush and say, how can two lawyers look at this? And, you know, they got the legal backgrounds and they're so different. You know, most of the cases that go before the U.S. Supreme Court, I think that the majority of them are decisions that are not unanimous. There's always at least one person, like that one dentist who refuses to recommend Crest toothpaste. There's always one person that, you know, I have a different legal theory.
An effective oral dentifrice, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, that last dent, he's just holding out. I don't know.
They're not paying me.
Quite frankly, I think sugar's good for you. That's the way it is.
Well, I think you can interpret facts so many different ways.
Exactly.
You know, and that's kind of, it comes down to it.
And that's why they write what's called a dissenting opinion. That's
yeah.
their opinion. My opinion is different.
And so if it, you know, people would look at the Supreme Court and say, my gosh, they're just greatest legal minds or whatever. And some people would say, well, you know, not the majority of them greatest legal minds, but I think they all are, even though I don't always agree with them politically. They're still all very intelligent people. And if they can see things differently, then we can too on case or no case. When we come back, we're going to talk about Antonio Brown and Apple is in some hot water.
Hmm.
Don't go away.
Boiled apples?
Bobbing for.
And, you know, they may be intelligent to people on the Supreme Court, but, you know, they'd never cut it on Radio Law Talk, I'll tell you that. Stay tuned as Radio Law Talk will continue very shortly right here. Don't go away.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The city of Houston opened to 75% capacity, but it might not last long as officials are cautioning they may need to order people back home and open a COVID-19 hospital at NRG Stadium, a football complex, as the coronavirus cases surge in the nation's fourth largest city. Here's Lena Hidalgo, the Harris County judge, who is the top official for the county's 5 million residents.
We've had the highest hospitalization number. It's only grown from there. The numbers we're seeing are very significant.
I'm growing increasingly concerned that we may be approaching the precipice of a disaster.
At least 18 states have seen a spike in hospitalization since Memorial Day. In Texas alone, more than 84,000 people have been sickened by the virus, and there have been 1,950 deaths, according to Johns Hopkins University. More than 55,000 have recovered. This is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from FrontSight's world-class instructors, led by FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at FrontSight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FrontSight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. FrontSight, America's gun training destination.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
Welcome back. Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks here. We are in the books for the first week of Case or No Case this week, and both Denise and I came up with goose eggs because Cal stumped us.
I'm just sick about it.
Yeah, you look really broken up there.
And it makes us look really bad because here we are, here today, so committed, and Fred's still ahead on Case or No Case.
Well, but, you know, the next case could be worth... If you want to risk the points you have, I'm open to a little.
I have 0 points.
So do I.
Oh my goodness!
I'll risk zero.
So much for my double jeopardy theory.
Can I risk Fred's points? It's like playing with house money.
That's
right?
The danger. I've been watching Jeopardy with my wife this week, and I'm thinking, okay, no, so no double jeopardy, no trips, no vacations, no nothing.
So how about if we talk about the law and what's actually going on in legal circles? How's that sound? Because, you know, when I was a kid, you very rarely heard about legal troubles involving professional athletes. And it's not that it wasn't happening. Of course, I was a kid before the real big information age. And so there's a question about it was much easier for pro sports leagues to keep those things under wraps. Now, if anything happens, you know immediately.
Or the White House press corps.
Oh, exactly. And so now when a season ends... for any professional league, I always start the, all right, how long is it going to take for the first legal entanglement or the second player to get arrested? Because essentially they go from having a pretty structured lifestyle during the season. You got to work out on a certain day, you got practice, and you got games, to now they've got all this free time, and that seems to be when people end up getting in trouble. Is, you know, idle hands or the devil's workshop? Well, Antonio Brown, wide receiver, used to be a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then signed as a free agent with the Raiders. Didn't make that a spring or training camp last year before that relationship blew up. And then he was signed by the New England Patriots, played a game, I think, for them. And more legal troubles cropped up, and so they went ahead and released him. And he has resolved one of his cases, the criminal case.
Right.
And, Denise, where what's the jurisdiction we're talking about here? Starts with an F, rhymes with Florida.
Yeah. I was going to say it's Florida. I know that.
Well, it's Hollywood.
Hollywood, Florida. Hollywood, Florida. Yes. That's right. So it's a little misleading. It looked like Hollywood, yeah. Hollywood, Florida. And essentially, the underlying facts are that he had hired movers. There was a moving thing going on, and he got into a dispute, and it led to an altercation. What was that, Cal?
Here we go. Movers.
Move.
I'm sorry. I tried. I'm sorry. It didn't work. Okay, go ahead.
So an altercation ensued. The allegation is maybe he threw something at them. The long and short of it is he was charged with felony assault in the state of Florida. And he just reached a resolution through his attorneys with the prosecutors in Florida to resolve that case. And the resolution is somewhat interesting. It's interesting, but probably not uncommon, but one that the average person not involved in the case, not in Florida, would look at it and may think, oh, another case of an athlete getting over on the legal system. So, Denise, do you know how this thing resolved?
Yeah, he won't face any jail time at all.
No jail time?
He's going to be on 2 years of probation, and he has to serve 100 hours of community service. As part of the plea, he also has to do mandatory psych evaluation, which is kind of interesting. I thought that was curious. And then he has to attend a 13-week anger management program. And that's because of him getting angry with his movers, and then him and his friends kind of doing some things to remove boxes off of the truck that was moving them and taking boxes that were not his. So it's kind of interesting facts, and there are some argument that maybe if he wasn't an NFL player, he might not have been charged so hard. Maybe charged with something, but not something that could have potentially have been a felony burglary charge. So he pled guilty, and the prosecution, if you will, has adjudication withheld in the case. What is that, Todd? That is so curious.
So that's the question that I had is, okay, so he pled, but is Antonio Brown going to have a felony, and I think it was a felony and a misdemeanor, is he going to have anything on his criminal record as a result of this? You know, if you have a criminal record, you go and they do a background check and they do this and it comes up, okay, you got a criminal record. Is he? And the answer is no. How does that happen? Well, that takes us to a nuance of Florida law. And here's what it is. Look, if you are going through the criminal process and you plead guilty in a case, let's say it's a serious felony, right? So you plead guilty and the judge will usually set the matter out for sentencing at some future date. And during that time, there's a probation report and a bunch of things, and victims can come in and make statements and all of that. And so you have the plea date, and then the sentencing date is set off. And technically, you're not really convicted of the crime until you are sentenced. Now, oftentimes in lower-level misdemeanors and in a lot of lower-level felonies, the plea and the sentencing all occurs on the same day. And so that's why on that occasion you would walk out and you are convicted of the crime. Well, in Florida, they have this thing called withholding adjudication. And what that essentially means is that even though Antonio Brown has pled to the case, a lot like in those instances where you're not actually convicted, where it show up until you're sentenced, he is not adjudicated of that case. And until the adjudication occurs in Florida, won't show up on his record. And this isn't a special deal. It's not some creative resolution. It's in the statute in Florida. I think this is the same thing that Tiger Woods had happen to him with the DUI, where he pled to it, but he was not adjudicated, which is why it didn't show up on his record.
Right. I think it's a plea of no contest to it. So that's not saying they're guilty of it, but they're not saying they're not guilty of it. It
carries the same weight as a guilty plea, right? At least it does in California.
It does. Well, there might be exceptions, but yes.
So my question is, so it shows up on his record. Big deal. So what? Who checks his record anyway? He's an NFL guy. He's got millions of dollars. What difference is that going to make to him going forward?
Well, I think in the future NFL contracts, it's going to make a difference.
It may make a difference. And look, the fact that the other thing we know about the NFL is even if you get a sweet deal, even if you're charged with something or investigated, and ultimately the case is dismissed with no charges at all, he can still face discipline by the NFL. We saw that happen with Ezekiel Elliott.
That's right.
So they can put in a more strict morals clause or behavior clause. I got you. Okay.
The important thing here is that Antonio Brown is the vehicle by which the public is made aware that this is a potential resolution in any case, because there are defendants out there who might want to avail themselves of this type of resolution. And if the state does not want to look like they're granting favoritism towards a professional athlete, then this is something that is going to have to be offered to other people that, you know, maybe messed up, but it was a one-time thing or whatever. I think the reason he was charged so harshly was because at the time this happened, he had a lot of other legal issues going on. And so when you charge a case as a prosecutor, I think you have to look at it like, is this a one-time deal or is there a lot of stuff going on? And it appeared that that was the case with him.
It did, because of the 13-week anger management, for sure. And maybe even the psych-eval has a little bit to do with that, you know, that was very important for them to get to the bottom of what maybe the problem is here. Remember, you need to get an attorney in your local jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
And find out, especially if you're facing such criminal matters as Antonio Brown did, because he obviously got a very good Florida attorney that was able to help him.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Not every state has the terminology adjudication, but they have different terminology, and usually every state has something where the effect of this can occur. In California, for example, oftentimes it's referred to as deferred entry of judgment, where you delay that sentencing, not 90 days, not 1 month, you'll delay it 90 days. And if during that 90-day period you do all of the conditions that you were supposed to do, then when you come back at the conclusion of 90 days, if you've done the psych eval, you've done the anger management, you've done all this, then you're allowed to withdraw your guilt deeply, and the case is dismissed, right?
Right, yes. And you can also do, not a set-aside, I forgot the term for
an expungement.
There you go.
And Cal, did you have a quick question?
Do you suppose it's the same attorney as that of Robert Kraft?
I'm just
wondering. He was a patriot at the time. Robert Kraft got in trouble with his little alleged trickadillo in Florida.
True.
I'm just wondering.
I'll tell you what. We're coming up on a break here. We're coming up. What is it? Yeah. So we're coming up on a break here shortly. During the break, I'm going to do a quick search. It should be easy to find out who the attorneys were for both.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know if it was the same. I know that cases that arise out of the state of Texas that are criminal cases, there is one name that always shows up regardless. He's like very famous now, represented Roger Clemens and others, and it wouldn't surprise me if Florida had the same thing.
Huh. I just think it's a fascinating thing. Patriot, now former patriot, Florida law trouble. Anyway, there is a website, by the way, if you're curious about Florida problems, called afloridaman.com. We'll be back here with more Radio Law Talk right after this. Don't go away.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I helped thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Is this real life?
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
That is very classy there, Cal.
Use some of my old rock and roll production techniques.
Yes.
Backward reverb.
Now it's time for Radio Law Talk. And when we walk into the vault of disgust, we have...
Speaking of old rock and roll bumpers.
Yes.
The walk of shame.
I wanted to touch something, an issue that Denise raised in our last segment was the question about no contest versus guilty. And how does that work in court? And there's a case called People versus West that I'm aware of in the state of California. And on the federal level, from the U.S. Supreme Court, it's the very similar holding, which is essentially that sometimes for tactical reasons, a person may want to enter a plea, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they believe that they did it. They just understand for tactical reasons, maybe the evidence is so far stacked against them, that the likelihood of prevailing is minimal. Maybe the offer is very good and they're willing to go ahead and take it on the chin, But how can that be accomplished without saying I am guilty? How can I take responsibility for something or agree to be punished, if you will, for something without actually saying that I am guilty of it? And that's where the concept of no contest arises. And it's recognized by the courts, essentially saying, look, I'm not going to fight it.
So it takes a little edge off your stupidity? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
That's one. The big thing here is when you have a case where somebody is facing criminal charges, but then could also face civil liability. Let's say it's a criminal assault case, right? And you have criminal charges for the assault, but you may also be sued individually by the victim in a personal injury lawsuit for that. And so the question here is, look, is there a way that I can take responsibility for the criminal case but not have that used against me in the civil case? But because it's a guilty plea, and now it's on the record. You said you were guilty of this, and that's where no contest comes
from. One of the most famous no contest pleas in the history of the United States was done by then Vice President Spiro T. Agnew, who was Richard Nixon's vice president. He was busted in a Maryland corruption case, and the words that were bantered all about the media at that time were nolo contendere. I do not contend the charges. And that,
to contest.
Yeah, I do not contest. Yeah. And that's when it kind of came up, this nolo contendere or no contest, but became
more
famous
than
people. Right, and people discussed it much, much more. So
wow.
It's interesting, yeah.
That's amazing.
And so in a criminal case, when a defendant says that, when they say, okay, no contest, and there are very few occasions where a defendant will say no contest and the DA will say, nope, it's got to be a guilty plea, can't be no contest. There are a couple that I've run into. Usually it takes place with diversion, but for the most part, it's six, one half dozen of the other. They don't really care. They get the conviction. Everything can be used against that defendant in the criminal realm, and the judge will say, okay, you're pleading no contest. Do you understand? And do you understand that for purposes of this case, I can interpret your no contest plea as a guilty plea for purposes of the criminal case? They say yes, and it goes forward.
Right.
But the tactical reason is that guilty plea, now you don't have a transcript where you said guilty that can then be used against you in a civil case later.
But for sentencing, at least in California, supposedly in sentencing, theoretically, a no contest plea should carry the same weight as a guilty plea for sentencing, generally speaking. Is that not true?
That is true, not only in California, but everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. If Antonio Brown, that we talked about last, if he had pled, if he had pled guilty instead of no contest, based upon the agreement, his sentence would have been no greater or less. Let's say Antonio Brown went in and the DA, whatever offer the DA made, he wasn't going to take it. And he just said, you know what, I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I'm facing, let's say, five counts, and I'm going to plead to all five of them. Judge, do what you got to do. All right? The judge couldn't come in and say, well, you pled no contest, so I'm going to give you a better deal. If you pled guilty, it would have been this. If you pled no contest, it's that. That does not occur. It's the same to the judge. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, but that is what happened with Antonio Brown. Those are no contest pleas. And that, as they say, is that. We're going to pivot now.
Yeah, you know what's really hotly contested?
What's that?
That is whether or not Apple's CEO has made a false, fraudulent concealment of material facts as it relates to China and China's market for iPhones.
This case, I'll just tease this a little bit right now. I think this case in particular is going to scare a lot of CEOs when it comes to comments they make during conference calls with shareholders, Zoom, all of that.
All of which are required under, I mean, the problem is when you're a publicly held company, you better keep everything close to the vest. That's why all these statements they send out are worded so strangely, because they don't want to say anything that could be misinterpreted as giving false guidance to investors, right?
Yeah, this case, though, is really the question of when do you have the duty to share truthful and accurate information to your shareholders.
I think it goes to that.
Yep.
And also, what constitutes misleading? Is it misleading to intentionally not say something? Is it, you know, you've heard the old, well, how come you didn't say this? You lied to me. No, you never asked, so I just stayed quiet. You know,
yeah, that's an error by omission, though.
That could be. And so here's what happened with Apple. So Tim Cook, who's the president and CEO of Apple, back in November of 2018, was having a conference call with the shareholders and was asked the question about the prospects for Apple in China. And his response was to the effect, things are going very well in China. He cited the previous quarter's earnings up to that point and how they had made a lot of money in China, and he didn't think that any of the downturn anywhere else was going to apply to China. Mind you, China represents a huge chunk of business for Apple, not only where they manufacture, but where they sell their product. And then, subsequent to this call, within a couple of weeks, Apple cut production to China based upon numbers that they saw, and they ended up actually having a downturn in China, and the outlook wasn't as rosy, and a group of shareholders claimed, I think, that they lost collectively $33 million or something like that in $74 billion. Sorry, $74
billion. Well, billion, you know,
yeah, million. Oh, here we go. I think it was $9 billion they claimed that they lost in the first part of 2019 because they invested based upon the statement that this is not going to apply to China, and then it turns out that things didn't really go well in China. And the basis of their lawsuit was essentially, hold on a second, Mr. Cook. How is it that you, as the CEO, president and CEO of Apple, can tell us on the 1st of November 2018 that China is looking great, and then a couple weeks later cut production in China? How could you possibly, and this is kind of what the judge said in this case, how could you possibly claim that you didn't know that that was in the works? Because if it was, then your statement to the shareholders was clearly incorrect and false and cost a lot of people a lot of money. Well, the shareholders filed a lawsuit against Apple, and Apple filed a motion for summary judgment after the discovery, and a lot of the counts were dismissed except the one dealing with statements made by Tim Cook, what we're just talking about here.
Well, what's in it for Tim Cook? To give investors false guidance. That's my only question about this. I understand what happened.
Well, there was a downturn in the economy.
What's his motive for giving them bad information? I don't think
so
he has one.
Don't pull out and sell the stocks and reduce
keep his market cap up.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
And what's more is I think there's two issues here. One, it would be, I think he'd be facing a different set of charges and maybe even criminal charges if his motive was an intention to mislead for something nefarious and fraudulent.
Right. So
you like can, him to advantage yeah. and sell his stock before they all sold their stock.
You can still face liability for misstatements to shareholders because you said something that turned out to be inaccurate and you probably shouldn't have said it, even though you didn't have the motive to do that.
Manipulating the stock yeah. price, whether intentional or not.
So we're coming up at the end of the first hour. The long and short of this one is Apple is still in hot water. They're going to have to face this lawsuit. We're going to talk a little bit more about Apple in either the second or third hour because
boiled apples
is coming up. Yes. You're listening to Radio Law Talk. Don't go anywhere. If you don't get us for the second hour on your radio station, you can join us at RadioLawTalk.com. To continue listening.
I'm pretty sure that's how they make applesauce, isn't it? I don't know.
That's right.
We'll be back. Stay tuned. More Radio Law Talk is coming up next hour. You can hear us on some local radio stations, and many times you can hear us at RadioLawTalk.com if not there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back.
RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.